Welcome to the Nicheology Prophet Academy. This is Paul Evans. I'm so excited about the training today because it deals with the psychological impact and influence of our communication to our market. Particularly, we're talking about customer clairvoyance, how to instantly connect with your customers to make them feel like you're reading their minds. And that's really a critical position for us to be in, not to use it in any sort of negative way. And that's one of the things that I'm going to stress right off the bat. There are a lot of the tactics that we're going to be looking at and strategies we'll look at today that can be used in a very negative way. In fact, a lot of cult leaders, a lot of con men use some of these very same tactics in order to mislead people. So what we're talking about is very powerful. But the real key is to use this in a positive, affirming way that's going to help your market connect with you and prove that you're the individual that needs to be listened to above everyone else in the marketplace. And that comes through connection. When people feel like you get them, like you know them, then that's when you're able to increase your influence, your impact, and certainly increase your income. So here's what we'll be looking at today. Mind surrender, specifically the formula for people feeling like you really know them and the clairvoyance develops within this formula. Communication patterns, how to create trust devices, and use universal recall to build a connection. Then the art of submission, for people to really lower the barriers and to allow you even deeper into their lives and into what motivates them day by day, and which ultimately will motivate them to purchase your particular product. And this is slated in the secret rooms of the mind. When we're able to enter into what is actually taking place inside the mental conversations of people, bring those to the outside and reveal them, but not in a way that's going to embarrass them or make them feel less of a person, but quite the opposite, that will reveal them in a way that confirms what they've believed all along and allows them to feel not embarrassed by what's being revealed, but instead to find a connection and to understand that there are other people going through exactly what they're going through. They just may not have revealed that publicly before. Mind reading is about trust. Actually, the move from skepticism to trust. And how is that move made? Accuracy. You think about all of the con artists that are out there reading palms and doing real weird stuff like that. Now, if you happen to be a palm reader and were offended by that statement, it's not weird. It's just simply that I don't participate in that particular market. But if you notice what they do, they begin with very general statements that can be true of almost anyone. Why do they do this? Because they want to prove accuracy. Because when people feel like someone is saying something to them that is accurate, that is true, it lowers the barriers of skepticism and it allows them to feel like, wow, I can trust this person. I'm going to lower these barriers. I'm going to take in what they're talking about, what they're saying. I'm going to believe in them because they obviously know so much about me. The more intimately you know your market, the more accurate your touch points become. You connect emotionally and psychologically, not just logically. But when you think about your touch points, the things that you write, the things that you say, the things you do in your market, each one of these impact the individual customer or prospect. Now, the more intimately you know a market, the more specific you can be in your communication. Now, think about this within the context of a relationship. If there is a stranger, you don't know what he or she likes. Therefore, every gift that you give or every word that you say is a risk. You just don't know how it's going to be taken. Now, let's talk about a colleague or an acquaintance. We've got a decent amount of knowledge there to be able to say, this is what I think he or she likes, and you could produce a gift that would be welcomed and appreciated. However, with those that you know the best, whether it's your children, your spouse, your best friend in life, then you are able to say things to them that no one else is able to say. You're able to give gifts that no one else is able to give. So when you intimately know your market, and we're going to get into some exercises that are going to allow you to do that, well, it puts you on such a different plane than everyone else. See, when it comes to competition or standing out from the crowd, people are always thinking, well, I'm simply going to make a better product, or I'm going to get out here in a way that is more visible than everyone else. And certainly, those components are part of the process. But how you really stand apart from the crowd is that you create conversation and communication that proves that you know your market, you know the people within your market better than anyone else. And when you connect emotionally and psychologically, that's when all of these barriers begin to fall, because logically anyone can come to the table and say this is good for you or you ought to buy this, but it's difficult for people to gain the knowledge that I know these people so well that what I'm about to say is not going to simply connect to their head, but it is going to connect to their hearts. And that's a critical distinction. Accuracy creates better products. You write better articles. You shoot better videos. Your emails practically become magical, all because it seems like you're a mind reader. You think about the number of people out there right now who are creating products that are so general that they're really not helpful. Or go to ezinearticles.com. You'll be hard-pressed to find a really great writer. And it's not simply about syntax and grammar or punctuation. It's really about their ability to communicate intimately with the market. Intimacy says, you know me, you get me, you love me, you accept me, and all of those cool things that deep inside all of us crave. So all of your communication devices, all of your products become infinitely better when you're able to be accurate with your market. So when you know nothing about the market, when you've got no clue about the market, you're just taking a shot in the dark. And sure, you might make a couple of dollars, but you're not going to be able to make the big bucks. You're not going to be able to have ongoing sales that people who really know the market intimately are able to have. So here are some mind blockers that you've really got to stay aware of, because if you don't, they're going to end up harming you, and it's going to kill you within your niche. Number one is assumption, just believing that you know something. I learned this lesson so many years ago when I thought that at a particular job that I had at that time, that there was someone who believed that I was not doing my best job. At least this is what I assumed. Now, I assumed that this person was, you know, out to get me or didn't like me or whatever. You know, it was kind of the emotional feelings that were going through my mind at that time. And so I had all these assumptions about this individual. And so I was talking to another friend of mine, and I said, yeah, you know, I'm really upset how, and let's say the guy's name is Richard, how Richard was, you know, treats me. He just doesn't think that I'm really producing. He doesn't really think that I'm working all that hard. And my friend said, you know, you don't know that that's true. You don't know what's really going through his mind. Why don't you simply talk to him and find out? And, you know, I was terrified about doing that because I thought, wow, you know, I really hate to approach somebody and accuse them of something. So I definitely didn't want to go in and say, hey, Richard, listen, pal. I've seen how you've been looking at me. I'm upset about it. And here's what I think the issue is. But instead, I simply went to him and said, hey, Richard, I don't know if we've got any tension here. But, you know, sometimes I feel like you're really judging my work. And, you know, I feel like you don't think that I'm really producing at the optimal level, etc. And he said, you know, I've got no clue, you know, what you're talking about. And he opened up and began sharing details of his life, struggles that he was going through, a lot of stress and turmoil that he was experiencing. And it turns out that my assumption was wrong. The reason that Richard was looking at me was that he wasn't in that way, was that he wasn't looking at me in that way at all. He was simply back in a place in his mind where he was having a conversation about all of his stress, about all these things going on, and he was not aware at all of how he was coming across. But that assumption could have done a lot more damage if I'd not gone and taken the advice of my friend and approached Richard and find out what's going on. Well, likewise in our markets. If we just simply assume that we know them, assume that we can recognize what their problems are, we're going to miss the boat because almost everybody out there is assuming. You mention any market, and there will be people who will try to describe that market as if they know the market, but they don't. And that assumption is going to kill their business. Choosing the wrong average. Now, we all have people within our market that are part of our profile, the average person within our market. Now, if we sit down without researching, without doing some of the exercises that we're going to go through, then we're going to choose the wrong average. And we're going to have a person in front of us that we believe represents the market, and that's who we write to, that's who we communicate to, but we're not doing it correctly because we've missed the average person within our market. Forcing personal desire. When we want something for the market and they don't want it, then they'll put up the barriers and we're not going to be able to read their minds and we're not going to be able to communicate effectively to them. And this is a touchy subject because we believe we know what is best. And often we do. But think about the teenager and all the adults who are trying to share with the teenager what is best for them. How often do they accept any of that? Rarely, because the teenager feels like they know what is best and that's what they are going to do. So within our markets, we need to find out what they believe is best and what they want the most. Now, let me bring an example in to marketing today and making money online. And in my markets, what I've found is that people deep down just want to make money. And they don't really care how, but they want to do it as fast as possible. Now, here's what I know. I know that people really need to build a business, that they need to have an entrepreneurial focus. But that is so difficult to sell because it doesn't equate in people's mind to fast money. So even take Nichology. We've got the Nichology profit system, which hits that core personal desire of fast, getting a product up and online for sale fast. See, that's what the market wants, and that is where the most sales are made. Now, here you are in the Profit Academy. Now, why did I create the Profit Academy? Because that was my way of saying, okay, I know that most people don't necessarily want this off the cuff, but it's critical to become a stronger business owner. It's critical to become a stronger entrepreneur. And so that's why I created the Profit Academy, to give people what I really knew they needed, but I began by selling them what I know they really want. Now, if all I do is sell based on what I know people need and I force my personal desire on them, well, it's just not going to work out, and the sales are just not going to be as strong. So this is a hard lesson, because when we know what is best for people and we know what's going to bring the best results, and the crowd is not going to accept that, and we think, well, I'm just going to take the high road and I'm going to shove down their throats what's best for them. Well, what happens? We end up alienating the market and we lose our audience. Just like many parents have lost their children by trying to cram what's best for them down their throats. We've got to be smart about this. We've got to be wise about this. We certainly need to give people what they need, but we need to have the entry through their personal desire, not our personal desire. Another blocker is saying, I love you too soon. This happens in a lot of relationships where one person in the relationship is ready to go that extra step and get that commitment at a greater level. And sometimes it's too soon, such as the first date. Nobody on the first date is in a position to tell the other person, I love you. And the other person, what's it do to them? It scares them off because they're like, whoa, wait a minute. They've said something that there's no way that they can say that because they don't know me well enough. So with our audiences, I believe that we need to be on a love platform, meaning that we care so much about them and desire the best for them that that's what we communicate. But if we come right out of the gate and we say, I love you right off the bat, and they don't really know us yet, and they can't assume that we really know them yet. We've got to be careful with that, or it blocks all of the future communication. And then personal train wreck display. In general, in our markets, we definitely need to be transparent and we need to be genuine. But when we're going through some sort of personal turmoil, what we don't want to do is display it in a way that shows that we either can't be trusted or we can't control our own life. Then how in the world are they going to help me with my life? How are they going to help me with my problem? You know, we can't be on display in a way that says I'm untrustworthy. So that's just a little mind blocker that we've got to be aware of there. When we're talking about communicating openly, transparently with our audiences, sometimes we interpret that as I can just say anything I want, whenever I want, because I know my market knows me, and we're going to have this ebb and flow and be open across the board. You know, a personal train wreck really doesn't work well. I shared a letter from an irate customer during the Nicheology anniversary celebration, in which, or actually I think it was right after that, I got the letter during the celebration because I had a deadline, and the deadline was cut off, and I kept my word and shut off access to a particular resource. Well, this guy was just so angry and irate, and he said he was virtually creating ways to bash my brains in. Well, I shared that, and that wasn't a train wreck display on my part. That was a train wreck display on his part. Now, what it actually did within the market was it created a lot of open communication. Not really negative against this guy, but saying, man, I feel sorry for him. But it also brought a lot of people onto my side and were like, wow, you know, Paul, I appreciate you keeping your word. That was so cool that you said it, then you did it. A lot of people aren't going to accept that. And so what it ended up doing was it blocked that type of person from my market. Any person wired like that immediately saw I can't communicate it in that way in Paul's space, or it didn't work. And other people who saw how I handled it were like, wow, I'm on your side, I'm on your team. So I shared personal information, even a private conversation without sharing the name of the individual, but I didn't do it in a train wreck way. Train wreck way would have been to say, listen guys, I want to tell you right now, I'm sick of some of these attitudes. I'm sick of people like this who, you know, just want everything for free, and I could have gone down this train wreck display that would have killed business. All right, so let's get into customer clairvoyance. How are we going to do this? Here's the mind surrender formula. AP plus AAA equals customer clairvoyance. The AP stands for awareness protocol. Awareness protocol. Awareness shapes and sharpens your insight. Most people live in a continual state of blurry drift. Almost constantly, people are wandering around in life. And you can see this. You can see it in their eyes that there's not just this experience of constant joy. There doesn't seem to be constant excitement. There doesn't seem to be constant life. You see people shuffling back and forth to work. And you can tell that they're not really engaged in life at all. And so when we are able to become aware that we are in tune with the market, what we do is, even if it's for a very short time, we take away their blurriness, their drift, and we give them clarity and we give them direction. So awareness lets you see what others miss. It places you in a position of confidence. It creates a he or she gets me feeling. When we're aware of the market, when we know what's going on in their life, we know what's going on in their space, we see what other people miss. What people are out here trying to make a couple of dollars here and there, they totally miss the heartbeat of the market. But when you become aware, include into your market, then you see things other people are missing. It also puts you in a position of confidence. So you can go with the market and you can speak boldly and you can speak confidently from a position of knowledge rather than guesswork. And it will, I guarantee you, it will come through your communication. You think about a public speaker. When they get up to speak, if they're talking like, you know, today I'm really excited to be here, and I want to share with you some life-changing things today. Well, you're not pumped about that, and that person is not in a position of confidence, and you don't really want to listen anymore. But if a person steps up to the podium and says, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you I'm so excited about being with you today, because I'm going to share with you three critical components of life that if you're willing to take the risk and apply, you'll never be the same. When you walk out of this room, you will be energized, you will be focused, and you will be walking down a new path in life filled with nothing but promise. I don't care how you came into the room today. I don't care how disoriented your life is, how dysfunctional your life is, how fuzzy your life is. When you leave today, your life will be on fire. Now, you start saying that, and people know you're clued in. Now, that might be over-the-top motivational, but people get it. They know that you know what you're about to say is going to make a difference. And that comes from being aware of the audience. It comes from being aware of the market so that you can communicate very boldly and very precisely what you know the market needs. All of this creates the he gets me feeling. When I said, you know, regardless of how you came into the room today, fuzzy, disoriented, dysfunctional, people are going to be going, that's right. That's right. That's exactly how I came into the room. Now, the truth is, 85 to 90% of people live feeling that way. They feel like their life is fuzzy. It's rare that you meet a person who goes, yeah, I'm super clear about what I want in life. So I didn't say anything at that point that was anything less than knowing humanity, knowing what humanity goes through. And so when I speak with that awareness and speak it confidently, it creates the, he gets me. He gets me, knows where I'm coming from. He knows where I'm living. He knows the day-to-day. So awareness protocol exercise number one, consumption. You've got to consume the market. Consumption allows you to speak the language. Every market has its own language, has its own vocabulary, and you've got to be able to use their terms to prove that you know the market. It allows you to have the same references so that when you're telling stories, you're sharing insights, it's all from the same platform of common experience. So when I'm sharing with an internet marketing audience, I'm using terminology and I'm using references that they are clued in on. When I talk about an autoresponder, an online business audience gets it. An offline business audience, zero clue. So since I've consumed so much information about my market, I'm able to speak the language and have the same reference. We also possess the same goals, that I'm not simply out here trying to lead people in a certain direction that I'm not willing to go. When we consume, we take on the same goals as our market. Now, this is most effectively done when we're simply part of the market. I am part of all my markets. It makes it so much easier to do good business. So I possess the goal of the market. With online business, my goal is to grow my business to become more profitable. That's the same goal as the market. My public speaking market, my goal is to communicate confidently and to make sure that I am impacting lives for the positive. And certainly not to be afraid on stage and to do a great job. That's the same goals as my market. In my youth ministry market, what are they wanting to do? They're wanting to create great classes for their youth group. And they're wanting to impact their lives, the lives of the youth group, in a way that is going to positively affect them for the rest of their life. Well, that's the same goal I have in my real life, not just in the market life, but in my real life. So in real life, I'm working with businesses and my own business. I want to grow and become more profitable. In my own life, I'm a public speaker. I technically would be labeled a professional speaker. I get paid to talk, and not simply in business markets, but in a lot of different markets. Okay, so I have the same goal there. I am living the market. So as much as possible, live your market. And then you're able to share similar stories so that when I'm speaking to the public speaking market, I can talk about and share stories that they are familiar with, and it gives us the same platform. So I'll talk about being so afraid at one point that I forgot what I was going to say, or just getting off on a tangent and forgetting what I'm talking about altogether. I've done this before when I'm speaking, but what I want to do within my market is to prove to them that it's not fatal. I've been speaking before in audiences of thousands and will get off on a tangent and go, you know what? I just went down a road that I had no intention of going down. I've got absolutely no clue of where I am at this point. What's the last thing I said that made any sense whatsoever? And I'll point to somebody in the front row that I know is taking notes. You know, what's the last thing you've got on your notepad? And it'll be a trigger to put me back on track. But for the public speaking audience, they're like, oh, wow, it even happens to him. And then he's able to become this escape artist and get out of this negative situation. I can do that too. See, I'm sharing a similar story. And we all have to do that within our markets. So join their community. Consumption is about joining their community, being part of what they are part of. And this is not simply like a forum. You know, I hear this advice all the time online, and I give the advice. We certainly need to go into forums, but we need to join some of the websites that they're joining, or we need to subscribe to some of the things that they subscribe to say that we are part of the market. We need to read their books. Whatever the market's reading, we need to read. We need to watch their shows, watch their movies, watch their sitcoms, watch their news programs, because all of this allows us to share relevance. You know, when we're watching the same programs and I'm able to say, hey, last night I saw X, Y, and Z. It's powerful to be able to say that, and it pulls the end of that. Oh, they get me. Oh, we're alike. Oh, we're the same. Play their games. When I was in the golf market a lot more heavily than I am now, and main reason is I used to play a lot more golf than I do now. Well, I played their game. So I wasn't simply reading books or watching DVDs about golf and trying to get the market. I played what the market played. So when I talked about shaping a shot from left to right with a power fade as opposed to a banana slice, well, the market knew I'm in there with them day in and day out, and that's what you want to communicate. And you do that by playing their games, by having fun. And listen, if you're not having fun in your market, you probably don't need to be in that market. And then listen to their music. And this is huge because whatever they're listening to really is insight into what's in their heart. You know, what their favorite songs are, what's hot in your market right now. And you're going to have some markets where, you know, it's all the latest hip-hop, and you're going to have another market where it's classical. But when you're listening to it, you understand people. And when you understand people, you can communicate in a way that expresses your knowledge of them. Consumption destroys assumption. When you're out there consuming all of these things, then you don't have that mind block that I mentioned early on about assuming and assuming incorrectly. Now you've got knowledge. You know what the market or where the market is coming from. And so consumption destroys assumption. Awareness protocol exercise number two. So exercise number one is ongoing. It's not like you do it in a day. You need to make a list of all of those things. You need to make a list of shows, of communities, all of the things that we just covered. Make a list and get involved in those. You see, obviously what I'm saying right now proves my point earlier. You know, if I was to share all this stuff right out of the gate with somebody just brand new to online business, they'd be like, that's just too crazy. That's too much work. But I'm telling you, this is where the money is. 100 Steps in Darkness. This is an exercise by Steve Cohen. I got out of a book, Win the Crowd, and I'm going to actually read an excerpt right now because you'll be able to take notes on this and it'll give you a concept of this because this increases your awareness, not simply in your market, but in all areas of life. Here is the exercise. Go to a park or another open space where you can walk 100 steps straight ahead without bumping into anything. You're going to be walking with your eyes closed. Now, don't worry. You'll be breaking this down into groups of 10 steps, so it's not as dangerous as it sounds. Close your eyes, walk forward 10 steps. counting each step silently as you take it. And when you reach 10, open your eyes for a moment and remember as much of your surroundings as you can. All right, so you open your eyes, you look and try to take everything in, but look straight ahead. Use your peripheral vision. Then close your eyes and take 10 more steps. Start thinking of your eyes as a camera's shutter and open them only for a split second. Every 10th step, open your eyes and force yourself to remember everything in front of you. Is there a small ditch, a curve in the path, a small animal? Once you've closed your eyes again, trust your memory. Repeat the 10 steps. Don't break the rhythm of your walk. So you're not going to stop and take everything in and then keep walking. You're just going to walk continually. Open your eyes for a split second. Close them again as you continue. You don't break your rhythm. At first, you'll feel a little wobbly and insecure. It's not easy to balance and keep a rhythmic step with your eyes closed. But don't worry. You don't have to take 100 steps all at once. You only do it 10 at a time, and you only have to take 100 steps. So that's 10 little sessions. You'll get better each time you practice. At the end of each 10 paces, your brain will be starving for visual stimulation. The shutter view floods your brain with information. You will see small details that you never recognized before. You'll become more aware of items normally only captured in your peripheral vision on the extreme sides. You'll see more than you've ever seen before. It's like watching a letterbox edition of a movie on high-definition television. Colors will appear more vibrant, and the details of your surroundings will etch themselves into your memory. Your survival relies on it. You may think that only a lunatic would walk through the park with his eyes closed, but guess again, compared to what I'm about to suggest, walking through the blind park, or a park blind, will seem like, well, pun intended, a walk in the park. Now, once you've gained confidence with this drill in a relatively safe location, try it on a crowded street. And Steve says this, I've even practiced this in New York's Grand Central Station. Amid all the hustle and bustle, your split-second glances will force you to remember much more than in the park. You'll learn to anticipate the movements of people, and you'll remember your relative distance to them. After practicing 100 steps in darkness for many years, I know just when to stop so that I don't bump into people, dogs, or baby carriages. Now, what have you learned from this drill? You've sharpened your skills of observation. You've learned to take in more information at a single glance. You are now ready to read people before they are even aware that you've begun. Characters in Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's stories sometimes assume that the mysterious detective was a mind reader. However, as Sherlock Holmes explained to his sidekick, Dr. Watson, he was not a psychic at all. He was just more observant than most. You see, this is what creates awareness. When we practice something like this awareness protocol exercise, 100 steps in the darkness, it will train you to become more aware in all circumstances. And that is going to allow you to become so aware in your market that you are going to begin seeing those things that other people miss, and you're going to be talking about things that no one else is talking about. Well, let's continue with the formula, the triple A: acceptance, affirmation, and advocacy. First of all, acceptance. Most folks feel they are different. Show them that you're different too and accept them on their level. Acceptance is such an incredibly powerful tool. Now, I mentioned early on that a lot of these things can be used for the bad, can be used for evil, really. You think about David Koresh or Charles Manson or anyone else with a following, these dangerous cult followings. What did it all stem from? People that really wanted to be accepted. People who felt like outcasts or misfits and felt like they were different. Now, of course, this was on an extreme level that I'm communicating right now. But, in general, folks feel that they're different. And they feel like they really don't fit in. And when you show that you're different too and that you're accepting them and this is a place for them to belong, Well, then they surrender and they open up to you and they trust you because they realize that you're like them and that you get them. Affirmation. People are beat down and are made to feel inadequate. Build them up and show that you believe in them. Again, broad generality, but in most part, people are insecure and they've been beat down to feel that way. Now, part of that could be upbringing and bad experiences they've had in life. Part of it is an overbearing boss. Part of it is simply the imagery that's placed in the media about how perfection is really the only acceptable standard. You know, watch any of these crazy news shows at night that are politics shows. Nobody's doing a good job. Have you noticed that? Everybody, every congressman, every person in the White House is getting beat up constantly. It's a barrage of negativism. And what the average person does, we can't help it, is that psychologically, we bring that in and we start feeling that we're inferior as well. That brings a lot of anger, brings a lot of disappointment, and brings a lot of dissatisfaction to life. And when you can affirm people and believe in them, almost always my most popular emails are ones in which I say, you can do it. Don't give up. I felt like quitting. I kept going. I'm glad I did. You should too. You can. Because basically what I'm saying is I believe in you. And when you believe in your market, show them that affirmation. It creates that clairvoyance. Advocate, protect and defend your market. Be a voice and step in when they get pushed around. And you can't always be on this I'm helping you, I'm protecting you stance in a very bold way, or you almost become a lunatic and people get scared of lunatics. But you can certainly always protect and defend your market. So when I see a product that's out there that I'm not in line with and I think it's scammy, you know, I can come to the market and say, guys, you know, this is what's being taught today. And I'm afraid a lot of people are falling for it. And it's just wrong. See, I'm protecting and defending the market. With public speakers, I can go in and say, you know, there are a lot of people out there spreading the doctrine of fear with public speaking, saying that it's the number one fear on the planet. Well, guys, I just don't even believe that. I think it's wrong, and I think all it does is ultimately create more fear. I want to show you today how you don't have to be afraid any longer. You know, that's a light example, and it's not really being pushed around by the market, but if you can find a way that people are being used or they're being slightly abused, then you can come in and be their advocate. If you take any sort of public stance for them, that's even stronger. It's one thing to communicate with your market and your list and say, hey guys, here's what I want you to know, blah, blah, blah. You know, don't fall for this. But when you're out in public and you do something that it's like a video that gets passed around, when you're condemning the market for using unethical practices, well, then suddenly you're not just saying to your people, hey, I'm trying to protect you. You're out in public defending the market and taking a bold stance. So AP plus AAA equals CC. This formula creates loyalty and a deep-rooted bond. And this is how you get people to stay on your list longer and to buy more of your products. And all of this is 100% ethical as long as you're using it in the right way. See, we all spend time and spend money with people that we like, that we enjoy being around, or we enjoy learning from. And if you'll look at the people that you have that type of connection with, you'll see a pattern of the things that we've already talked about. Trust devices. How to gain trust so people believe in you before you open your mouth. We're moving now into these communication patterns and leaving behind the mind surrender. Make sure you're doing all of those exercises. So how do you get people to trust you? And this is a big part of clairvoyance, is trust. This is from Blair Warren. People will do anything for those who encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicions, and help them throw rocks at their enemies. So let's look at each one of those, and I want you to write down how you can do this within your market. Okay, what are the dreams of your market, and how can you encourage it? because they've got a lot of dream killers around them. A lot of people telling them they can't do it, or that's silly, or that's dumb, or maybe they're not even bringing it up because they're kind of embarrassed about having these thoughts of what they really aspire to do. And that can be on all levels. You know, in my professional speaking business, when I tell people they can make money speaking, if they were to tell anybody, hey, I'm going to go out and make money speaking, people would be like, who's going to listen to you? You know, people are always crushing that dream. But if I can say, listen, you can make money speaking. In fact, I made $1,000 within 4 engagements when I got started speaking. And that's one of my products, how I made, I got paid $1,000 within my first 4 engagements. So that encourages their dream. Now, within your market, how can you encourage their dreams? What is they're thinking about? What are they spending time on? What's rolling through their brain of their greatest hope? Encourage that. Now, I'm not saying that we want to feed people who are delusional. But by and large, people simply have a dream that nobody else is believing in them for. So write that down. Secondly, justify their failures. Now, this is part of the marketing that I'm not always real excited about. The whole, it's not your fault. And I see this headline a lot. You know, so you failed. It's not your fault. And so every previous person is brought, every previous product that they've bought has been brought into question at that point. And they say, it's not your fault. You know, you've just been taught wrong. You just went down the wrong path. You were misled. So you got to be careful with this because it's dangerous and it can make people feel like, wow, everything I've been doing has been wrong. Bummer. But you can, without creating an enablement or victimization, you can justify their failures. You can say, well, you know, the problem is that you've not been able to attain this because of X, Y, and Z. And you don't have to question everything they've ever been engaged in, but you can give them an out. You can give them an excuse. And people live for excuses. The minute people decide to do anything, their subconscious is trying to find a reason or an excuse for their failure. So that when their friend says, hey, I thought you were going to be a professional speaker. Oh, yeah, you know, I was just talking about that. I was just trying to convince myself that was going to be something to do. But, you know, I've moved on for that. And well, I was going to, but let me tell you what happened. I had this gig set up, and somebody came in and swiped it from me. You know, there, people are always looking for a way not to take blame. So within your market, what are the top 5 regular failures of your market, and how can you come alongside and say it's not your fault? Ally their fears. So, you know, bring their fears to the side. What are they afraid of? Again, I'll go ahead and write down the top 5 here as well. What are they afraid of? And then how can you take away their fear? Now, the way we do this in sales is simply to use a guarantee. They're afraid of making a stupid decision, and they are afraid of losing money. So you know those are the top 2 fears, by and large, with just about every online purchase. And so you take their fear away by saying, we've got a 60-day no-questions-asked policy. Or try it for the first month absolutely free, so there's no risk to you at all. Simply cancel within 30 days, and you'll never be charged. See, that takes their fear away. So if there's any way that you can enter your market and say, guys, I'm about to take away your fear. Now, you don't say that way, obviously. You don't go, hey, I'm going to take your fear away. But you do it a little more subtly. You can say, you know what? Here's some of the things that I've noticed, some of the things that I've faced in my own life. And you start naming the fears of the market as your fears. And certainly they need to be your fears. I'm not saying just make them up. But if you're within the market, most likely you've experienced the same thing. And you say, here is the fear. This is what I experienced. And here's how I overcame it. And so what you're basically saying is, I overcame it. You're going to be able to overcome it as well. Now, confirm their suspicions. There's always skepticism in every market. So write those down as well. What are people skeptical about? In internet marketing, they are totally skeptical that any of these products work because they bought a bunch and none of them seem to work. They're also totally skeptical that they've got the ability to do it. You know, I'm sure this worked for you, your guru. Is this going to work for me? Okay, so people feel that way. In the health market, you know, the suspicion is, okay, this person is telling me that this is going to work, but I'm not sure I can do it. This is just about across the board. There's a constant fear. I'm not sure this will work for me. And also in the health market, is this really healthy? Is this safe? I'm not sure about this. So there's a suspicion there that this really is not going to live up to all of the hype and all of the promises. So you can go ahead and confirm their suspicions. So if I come into the online business market and say, you know what? There are a lot of scams out there. A lot of people are just using a lot of other people just to make money. People are like, I knew it. Hey, you know what? The things that the gurus are teaching are not right at all. In fact, if you do them, you're going to be damaged because all they do is create products that they get their buddies to sell so they can make a boatload of money. They've never tried these products. You say something like that? I knew it. See, there's always this underlying suspicion that something's not quite right. Well, write that down for your market. And then help them throw rocks at their enemies. As I just said that about the gurus. Well, that was like throwing a rock at the enemy. I knew it. I knew that. Man, so true. Now, you've got to have that common enemy, and you've got to be careful with this because you don't want to come across as a person who's sour grapes or been hurt by the industry, and now you're just out there getting revenge. And believe me, there are a lot of people out there like that. But instead, you want a common enemy, a safe enemy. So, you know, the government's always a safe enemy. If I go out today into a market and say, I want to share with you how the government ripped me off and made me pay more taxes than I was even supposed to pay, but there's nothing I can do about blah, blah, blah. People be like, that's right. That's what the government does. They're always taking from people. So it's an easy enemy to have. And so there are always people out there who, and here's the key enemy here. There are people out there who are trying to steal freedom. And that's the biggest enemy of all. So you look at something like PETA from their side. They're saying that all of these animal haters, these animal murderers, you know, so what do all the PETA people do? That's right, throw the rocks at those guys, those enemies. And then on the opposite side, you got people who are hunters. You got these animal lovers out there like PETA. They don't even want us to be able to hunt the great white-tailed deer and put venison on our table to provide for our families. It's part of the conspiracy of the government to make sure that we're in stores buying stuff that we could get for free out on the land that we've paid for. Man, those folks just go crazy because you got the common enemy of PETA, common enemy of the government over here. And so that's just the way it works. It's fascinating to study. This is so crazy. So if you want to study, a great example, this is from Tim Schmidt. He's just a great guy, but this is one of those hot markets. So U.S. Conceal and Carry Association, the U.S. Conceal and Carry Association. I would highly advise you to sign up for his newsletter because when you do, everything that we just covered, all five of those elements, you're going to see alive in his newsletter. It's really a fantastic example. Now, he's got a very emotionally charged group, and he's got tens of thousands of members in this. So the whole conceal and carry, the whole National Rifle Association, the right to bear arms, you know, that's a huge deal here in America. And so someone's going to steal that freedom and steal that right? Well, you know what? That blends right into all five of those elements. And the more of those elements that you can naturally integrate within your market, the more clairvoyant you are going to become. Universal recall is another communication pattern that you can use. Common experiences generate goodwill, trust, and likability. So when you communicate as much as possible, you want to have universal recall to show that you're all in this same boat together. So you might talk about Saturday morning cartoons. I'm just talking about some things from my life here. Fishing with Granddad, the hated or the loved teacher in school, playing on the monkey bars, what kid hadn't done that? Fear of a room of strangers, who doesn't experience that? The first car that you ever owned. And this is going to be particular to higher-end markets, because certainly there are a lot of markets in the world where nobody gets their first car. Or it might be that in your particular market, everybody's riding a motorcycle. You know, if you live in Europe, your first motorcycle may be the story, or your first bicycle may be the story. But worldwide, a lot of people walk. And then 9/11, and this is something, a worldwide story that most people are going to connect with. You know, where were you on 9/11 when the Twin Towers were blown up? When the planes flew in the side of those towers. Well, people can remember that. And so you've got universal recall, shared memories. It wasn't the exact same experience. It's just a shared experience. And so when you talk about Saturday morning cartoons, well, especially my generation, you know, we think about Looney Tunes, Speedy Gonzales, Daffy Duck, you know, all of that's what we think of. Elmer Fudd. All of those are just part of Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner. So we start communicating about those things. Immediately, people in my age group go, oh, yeah, man, I remember that. I remember that I couldn't get up for school, but Saturday morning, I would wake up at 5 a.m. and turn on the television knowing that those status bars were going to be across it or the snow was going to be on there, and I just waited for television to become live at 6 a.m. so I could watch my cartoons. You know, that is a universal recall in particular markets that is going to build a lot of connection and even clairvoyance. Because what's it say? I know you. I get you. We're alike. So think about what you can write down in your market and even from your life that you know to be standard experiences in life. Now, my kids, if they were going to be writing about it, they would be talking about, I remember when I got my first computer. I remember my first iPod. I remember my first iPhone. You know, so universal recall. Now, let's move into the final section of the art of submission. The art of submission. Secret rooms of the mind. And this is when you're really able to step over the threshold and really build a high-end connection with people. What open conversation has taken place between you and your customers? What open conversation has taken place in your market? Now, that is where almost everybody lives. That's where people spend their time in their market. It's with the open conversation. Now, here's the real question. If you really want to become clairvoyant, what private conversation is going on in the mind of your customer? What private conversation is going on in the mind of your customer? What are they saying to themselves that they're not saying to anyone else? Maybe they're embarrassed. Maybe they're ashamed. Maybe they feel like it's stupid. Well, you find that out. You start communicating that openly. Boom. Connection. Clairvoyance. So here's an open conversation. I want to lose 10 pounds for my health. You see, now isn't that appropriate? Isn't that nice? If someone says, you know, what are you doing nowadays? Well, I started a diet. Why? Why? I need to lose 10 pounds for my health, you know, to get in better shape. That's admirable. Congratulations on your new diet. Good work, I say to you. Go forward. Do well. Now, the private conversation. I'm sick of being stared at in public because of my weight. I want people to stare and say, wow. I don't want to lose 10 pounds. I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to become a lust machine. This is what's really going on in people's minds. They're not talking in their mind, I want to be healthy. Now, only if the doctor really said you're going to die do they have that conversation. By and large, people lose weight for pride because they want to look good and they want other people to look at them and say, wow, you look awesome. Period. Now, if we were to get to a deeper level than that, and a level that I personally do not agree with my philosophy of life, but, you know, there are a lot of folks out there trying to lose weight because they want somebody to sleep with. They want somebody to take them to bed or to be attracted to that level, or they want to be so attractive that, you know, they can instantly say to somebody, hey, let's go. Let's go get it on. And they're like, yeah. because they look so good, and that lust factor is at the deepest level of primal instinct. Okay? So these are some of the private conversations that are taking place in the mind of people. It's taking place in the mind of your market at some level. So you've got to discover that. So how do you do it? Private conversations are most often driven by the seven sins. You've got to do this exercise for your market. It's a lot of work in this month's Profit Academy. Pride, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, and sloth. These are private conversations that people are saying. So I'm sick of being stared at in public because of my weight. I want people to stare and say, wow. Definitely pride. They're definitely envious of other people who are thinner and look better. They've definitely got a problem with physical gluttony. They're eating too much. They're overeating. And they've got to shut that down. Lust. They want to be lusted after. Anger. They're mad at themselves for the number of times they've failed, for the number of times they've made this promise to themselves, and they've just not carried through. Greed. You know, they're greedy from the standpoint of they want to be accepted and loved by everyone across the board. Not simply one person, but all people. They want to stop traffic. And then sloth. Now, do you think that they want to lose weight in a very healthy way over time? Do they want to lose that 10 pounds in a year and do it the safe and healthy way? Or do they want to lose those 10 pounds in a week, even if there's a risk of physical damage? In a week, obviously. So even within this one market, we see that all seven are in play. Now, all seven may not be in play in your market, but there's probably going to be 3 to 4 that have a super high level of these that are running high. So in online business, people are prideful. They want to prove that they can do it on their own. They're envious of other people who seem to be making money so easily. People who aren't as talented as them, and that's part of pride. So pride and envy often go hand in hand. They're not as smart. They don't have as much knowledge. They can't make as good a product. And yet here's this guy over here that seems to be making all this money and his stuff stinks. Okay, gluttony is not quite as much in play. Lust, almost admiration. You want people to buy your stuff and go, wow. There's anger, again, back to envy. I'm so mad that this guy's not even able to do as good a work as me and he's got 100,000 people on his email list. I got 100 people on my email list. That's just stupid. Greed, I want to make a lot of money. I don't want to just get by. I want to be rich. I want the big house. I want the big car. Sloth. And I don't want to do anything to get it. Well, I don't mind working a little bit right now. But pretty soon, I want to just be driving around town with my hot body and my hot car. And I want everybody to stare. All right? So those seven sins are in play for almost everybody. Why? Because we're not in the golf market or the fitness market or the online business market. We're in the human market. And we're dealing with human beings. And human beings are all having private conversations in the secret room of their mind. And if you take that conversation, you bring it out in the open, that's the art of submission. They start really bringing down the barriers and being willing to do whatever you want. Because you're bringing out in the open what they've been saying in private. And when you bring out in the open what has been private, you seem, obviously, clairvoyant. So you do this by sharing a personal story or by sharing another story. So a personal story can be, literally, I used to be 30 pounds overweight. I was embarrassed, had these love handles hanging over the side, and I noticed that the first place a person's eyes went when they saw me was at my waist. Well, that so frustrated me. And you begin telling this story of how embarrassed you were and how every time people looked at you, you knew they didn't look at you with admiration, but they looked at you with pity. You start telling that story, people are like, wow, wow, wow. And then you talk about your turn and how you made the turn, how you made the change. Or you can tell it through another story. I received a letter this week from Anna. I could tell that on the sheet itself that there were some tear stains, some tear marks. A couple of the words were even smudged a bit just from the teardrops hitting the ink. And when I began reading her story, I understood why. You see, from a very early age, Anna's been overweight. From a very early age, she's been stared at. From a very early age, she was called names like fatty and not simply obese, but words that were hurtful. When there was a beeping sound, someone would shout out, "Watch out! Anna's backing up!" So you're telling another person's story. And this builds credibility because now the market has trusted you with their story. So you're not simply telling your story. The market's trusted you with their stories. They believe that you are a safe place to share their private conversations. And then when you're able to take that conversation and share it in a very empathetic or sympathetic way, you again are highly clairvoyant. So you want to share a personal story if you can. If not, you want to prove that you've been entrusted with other people's private conversations and are allowed to bring them out publicly. So clairvoyance comes from intimate knowledge of the market communicated with natural confidence. And you can do this across multiple markets. So you want to make sure that you've got this intimate market knowledge and you communicate it with natural confidence. We've covered a lot of material today, a lot of exercises. You've got to take the time to do each one of these and make sure that you are approaching your market with accuracy that comes from their private thoughts, not simply the stuff that's published out there online and is easily accessible. Get to the inside of their mind, and they'll share with you openly. You'll bond with them, and the trust level, the connection, will exponentially increase, and so will your profits. This has been Paul Evans for the Nicheology Profit Academy. Success is not an accident.